If we turn to the brain, which is a formidable challenge as far as pyrenoreceptors go, I have to say that for the first 30 years or so, people recognized that there were adenosine receptors, which were prejunctional modulators of the release of excitatory transmitter, and they thought that was probably the main role of pyrenoreceptors in the brain. It was only much later, starting in 92, when synaptic pyrenergic transmission was first proposed in the in a Nature paper. And since then, there's been a huge literature showing P2X and P2Y receptors all over the brain. And it's very interesting that at one level, we therefore know it's involved in neurotransmission and neuromodulation and some trophic events. But the real question is, what are they doing behaviorally? And there's hardly any experiments on this at all. There's just the beginning. There's a little bit on food appetite, appetitive behavior, various. There's a bit of stuff on central control by the brainstem of autonomic function, which involves pyrenergic signaling in the NTS and various other regions of the brainstem, RVLM, and so on. But behaviorally, there's a huge gap. And if I had to say which area I would hope would be for future study, I would long to have behavioral studies. One of the reasons that this is being held up is because most of these, even selective antagonists we have, don't work in vivo. So, and some of them don't go through the blood-brain barrier. So it's very interesting that Roche have just come up with a P2X3 antagonist, which will be very important for pain and various other problems, which is what you desire. It's for the therapeutic development. Small molecule, orally bioavailable, stable in vivo. So this is going, it's in clinical trials, and this might be one of the first really important agents that can be used to study behavioral questions.